Hey, it's Sheila with the Communicate Influence podcast. This week, we continue our conversation with inspiring entrepreneur Mitch Callahan, CEO of the WooCommerce web development business, Socal. Mitch shares how he and business partner Dominic Sauter have grown Socal in the last 10 years. And being a remote company, Socal's recruitment pool is global, so they have access to exceptional talent. Mitch reveals the importance of focus time, how Socal acquires clients, and how partnerships are really adding to the success of Socal's inbound marketing. Mitch is someone who values storytelling in brand building. He says that everybody launching a business today must really understand what makes them unique so that they can tell their story, carve out a niche, and work towards success. Do you ever have dark days? Well, like most of us, Mitch has those too, but he reveals how to counter them. In short, stay focused on what you're striving for and never, ever stop. You can find lots of details, including Mitch's book recommendations, in the show notes. Hi, Mitch. Welcome back to Communicate Influence. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Sheila. Thank you. And I'm really happy to be back. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks. Yeah. I have to apologize to listeners for coughing. I had a virus and it's kind of lingering. So sorry about that. I'm going to try and mute myself whenever the urge kicks in.
Yeah, well, I hope you get better soon.
Yeah, I'm sure I'm getting better already. We finished off last time, Mitch, and we were talking about you had a really fortuitous meeting with Dom Sauter. You really connected with Dom. You guys are on the same wavelength and you became business partners about 10 years ago. Just give us a little recap on you were in Calgary, you're sharing a little apartment, you're in debt. And what was the inception for the idea of starting Socal?
Honestly, Dom and I were both in very weird places in our lives, and we needed a big change. He had golden handcuffs working for his parents, and he wanted freedom. And for me, I, you know, there's some personal issues, and I wanted to get out of the corporate world. And so we just figured out what we could do best. And I've had a lot of experience building websites, and Dom had learned a lot in the last couple of years doing them for his parents' hotel. So we're like, you know what, let's just do this professionally. And we had gone through a lot of processes, hiring other teams, trying to build some web projects that we were working on. And it was just a bit of a mess. So we're like, let's just figure out how to build the team that we wish we had.
Okay. So the original idea was to build websites for clients and find people to do that work for you. So you, was it true to say you were kind of like a little bit like a middleman?
No, not at the beginning, actually. At the very beginning, we did everything ourselves.
Okay.
Yeah, it was all me and Dom. And then we had gotten to a point where, okay, we've exceeded our technical ability. We need to bring in some heavy reinforcements.
And that was where you realized it was kind of hard to find a really good agency, company, or individual, whatever, to do the work. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, we also had some side projects. So before we were even doing a lot of customer work, we were just building random projects to see what would stick. And that's where we got a lot of experience hiring other teams, mm-hmm. and you know what to do and what not to do building software. Yeah.
Okay. Right. And then you decided to create your own team. You obviously got frustrated with, you know, working with teams or people who weren't giving you what you needed. Yeah.
Yeah, and we just were lucky that we got some people who wanted some work and were asking us for more. And so we're like, yeah, there's something here and let's keep doing it. And yeah, we started to build the team.
Cool. And you mentioned earlier in our last conversation where you found someone in Argentina and he became your chief technical officer.
Yeah, we really lucked out with that one. His name's Matias. He's one of the best minds in the whole WordPress WooCommerce space. Like I would easily argue he's one of the top 10 best WordPress developers in the world. And we got him when he was very young and he was working with this weird company that ended up screwed him out of his paycheck, and he's like, well, you know, I'm going to be much better off working with you guys. So, you know, I'm going to lose this, you know, they screwed him out of his paycheck. And then we were just like, come work with us full time. And that was a big deal for us to hire our first employee. Like, we were like, oh my God, can we afford it? Can we do it? We're like, we got to do it. And looking back, it was one of our best decisions.
And so roughly how long had Sokol been in business when you hired Mateus?
I think no more than one year. Yeah.
That's pretty cool though. 1 year and you're hiring someone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome.
And that changed the game for us, because that's when what we knew we could achieve was far greater than what we had been doing. So we were like, okay, now we can dream a lot bigger and we could sell much bigger projects.
Awesome. And so then did you start to hire more people after Mateus? How did things evolve? Can you describe it a little bit over the next couple of years?
Yeah, and then it was just, as you grew, we ended up getting another developer and another one. And when you wear a lot of hats, you take on these new roles. And, you know, one of them was project management, one of them is sales. And eventually you kind of get exhausted from that role and you want to get someone else, find someone else to fill it who's much more qualified. And so you would then fill based on needs. So then we would get a project manager and we would move up and start doing new things. And that's just kind of how it snowballed.
Did you reach a point where after 1 or 2 years you've hired Mateus, you've got a project manager, did you reach a point where you started to breathe easy or sleep easy, where you kind of went out and you could use your debit card and not worry about it being rejected because you couldn't, you know, you didn't have enough funds or you were overdrawn or whatever? When did you start to see some light in what you were doing?
You know, what's funny is we were in a rough, it was rough for many years. And honestly, the one thing that lit a fire under me so strong to really improve the financial health of our company, of all things, it was when after I proposed to my wife. So we, like, you know, before you get, you know, get married, you know, it's good to disclose and be as transparent as possible. So I was so embarrassed to show her my finances. And like, I was like, I have to fix this. Like, I can't go into a marriage with just being in such brutal shape. And so, you know, it lit this huge fire. And I just remember that year, I went beast mode. Like, we hired like 3-4 more people and I was selling nonstop. And I remember just, we crushed any debt we had all in 1 year. It was like 6 to 8 months. We just went crazy. And it's crazy how fast it happens. And then you keep up with that momentum and you put stronger practices in place, especially around like how you handle your finances, and you're much more proactive versus reactive. And yeah, that really changed the game.
Wow. So like the first 5 years or so, a really intense time for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tell us what kind of learnings were happening and what kind of resources you used or access to help you learn and keep going personally.
Yeah, it was, you know, YouTube's a great tool, but I started my journey learning about money by reading a book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad. So I read that and I would read his follow-up books, and, you know, they teach you a structure. And before you've lived through these things, they don't make a lot of sense to you, but then eventually you get to a point where you learn about, because they tell you the importance of having your legal contracts in place, having your bookkeeper, having your accountant. And so it's like one problem at a time, we would start fixing them. And then they would solidify in your brain is like, okay, these are things you know, and now I'm going to move on to the next thing. And yeah, it was just learning from other business people, staying curious, constantly having to educate yourself. I even know that now, like we're a small company relative to where I wanted, where I see us going. And, you know, to do that, there's just a ton that you need to learn. So staying curious and always grinding, always making progress every day.
And so that book really influenced you, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I just looked it up on Amazon. Robert Kiyosaki.
The best business books of all time. If there's anyone who really is curious about, you know, How to Change Their Financial Situation. That is always the first book I tell them to read.
Okay, we'll put that link in the show notes for sure. Mm. Awesome. And it sounds like you're a really kind of buoyant character. You bounce back. You don't let things get you down. Were there still, you were getting married, you had to be transparent about your finances. Were there ever times where you felt, have I bitten off too much? You know, what am I doing? Did you ever have those kind of thoughts? And if so, what did you do to counter them?
Every day. I had them almost every day. And it's, there's a book, that another great book that I read called Good to Great. And you learn that being too optimistic can really hurt you. Like, oh, it's going to be better tomorrow. It's going to be better tomorrow. And I wouldn't tell myself it's going to be better tomorrow. I would tell myself it's going to be better one day. I just don't know when that day is going to be. So that way I didn't get my hopes up every day and I just stayed working. And, you know, lo and behold, that day comes and it gets better. So you just have to know what you're striving for and have and remind yourself why you started and just never, ever stop. Even if you want to, even if it hurts, you know, just keep going.
Mm-hmm. So you kind of infused after reading Good to Great, you were really more realistic about life.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm curious, did your wife, it sounds like you had to work really hard. Was that hard on your wife? Did she kind of miss you, or did you guys want to spend more time together? How did you find that work-life balance?
You know, I worked from home, so we still got to see each other a lot, and I would often work a lot after she was in bed. So it was always important to have a balance. Like I don't subscribe to that whole way of thinking like, oh, you have to dedicate every single hour you have to this one thing. Like everyone's different. And for me, like if I didn't have some sort of balance, I think I would have went crazy. So that was kind of a nice way to escape and think differently.
Cool. And now you have a little girl. She's going to be 2 in May. So that's changed your life as well. And I would imagine that balance is even more important.
Yeah. And kids are, yeah, exactly. Cause you have to ask yourself why you're doing this in the first place. You know, for some people you've got big problems in the world you want to solve, which 100%, that's part of it. And then, you know, you're also designing a lifestyle. And, you know, part of the reason why I worked so hard was so I could have time with my kids. And so that's what I got to remind myself. Like often I find something new that I want to start tackling and I do, but I'm like, don't forget, like you did this so you could have time with your kids. So yeah. Use it while you have it. And so that, I always keep that in the back of my mind.
Yeah. And let's kind of talk a little bit, first of all, about, you know, the fact that you've given yourself a lot of freedom through your hard work and you're a real proponent of remote work, not just kind of a hybrid of remote work, but true remote work. Why is that so important to you? And why do you recommend it for other organizations?
Yeah, it's just, it gives people freedom. And for me, I always wanted to travel. And that was for me. But then in doing so, we've been able to hire people from all around the world. And that selfishly, that has also helped, you know, satiate me with my cultural curiosity. But I've learned with, you know, other people, you know, for them, it's not that they want to travel per se, but like, you know, they just want to go to the city 50 kilometers away and spend some time with their parents. And so it's like, you know, that's amazing. If working remote means you can be closer to your parents or, you know, something like that, or you can stay home so you can see your kids more, like that's amazing. So it's the freedom to just kind of be wherever you want. And for me as well, it's like, it doesn't confine you to a small, very small talent pool. Like, cause like when we started in Calgary, I think if I was just hiring there, I think we probably would have struggled a bit. So this made it was much easier for us to find what we were looking for.
I mean, that is the amazing thing about SoCal, isn't it? That your team literally is spread around the globe. Tell us about that. How do you find people? How does it work? How do people communicate? How do you get like the team building, the team feeling? You know, what have you done to create all that?
I will admit, like remote work is not easy right away. Like, I think the first couple of years it was a struggle, and then it was like after 3 years of doing it, I finally got the hang of it. And so anyone listening, like, you're not going to get it right away. Well, I mean, maybe you do, but for some, if you're struggling, like, it's okay, because that's pretty normal. For finding people, it's, you know, it's like you would find most people in person, really. Like, you know, you got job specific boards for your industry. And so we just post it and we say, this is open to anyone, anywhere. So there are some constraints depending on how your business is structured. You know, people need to speak English, and we need to serve customers in certain time zones. But you learn that, you know, hiring people isn't just about skill. A lot of the time it's going to be about their values. And that's really the root of culture, is sharing a lot of the same values. Mm-hmm. And so those people can be found anywhere. So you isolate that, and you guys are all rallying towards, you know, the same cause, and you could build a pretty cool culture. And, you know, it helps that you don't have to pay exuberant rent for an office. And so we take that money that we would otherwise pay for a lease, and we pay for plane tickets and hotels, and we fly the team out and we meet up in person.
Do you love animals? If you do, the Animal Guide for Curious Humans is a podcast I think you'll really enjoy. Hi, this is Sheila Cagle, and I listen to dozens of podcasts every month. Right now, I'm listening to and recommending The Animal Guide for Curious Humans by Maureen Armstrong. Maureen's episodes explore how dogs think, overfishing of our oceans, factory farming, wolves and wildlife, and lots, lots more. You can find a show on your favorite podcast app or at theanimalguide.com. I'll drop that link in the show notes for you. Have a listen. I think you'll like it. I'm curious about the values thing. It makes total sense, you know, if a team has the same kind of values, but how do you suss that out before they actually bring them on board as a team member?
Honestly, I wish I had a really scientific response, but a lot of it was just gut feeling and, you know, who you got along with on interviews. And then we would often, like, at least at SoCal, we have a trial period for when they work with us. So we found at least 3 months, usually six, is a good litmus test to see if they're a good fit. And you'll learn a lot. Like, some of the people that I get along with personally and I could see myself hanging out with on a day-to-day basis aren't necessarily the people that I work best with. So, you know, we've taken it to another level. Like, now at our company, we do personality tests, and we really try to understand what people's strengths are. You know, it helps us learn what work they're good at, what work they like doing, what work they shouldn't be doing. And that's kind of how we heed that now. But in the early days, a lot of it was just vibe checks, as we would say, and whoever just seemed to stick around the longest, then we got along well.
Cool. Yeah. But you have made it a little bit more scientific, though. As you said, you're doing personality tests, yeah, and that's kind of obviously telling you something.
Oh, absolutely. And those are worth their weight in gold, because you learn, you know, if people are in the right role, and you know, we work together, so you know, like Olga, for example, she works with us, and we learned after doing her personality test that some of the work she was doing was just mentally exhausting for her. Like, it was just absolute bottom of things that energized her. So we used that knowledge to craft a new job position for her that really played more to her strengths. And I was really happy to see that. Yeah. I mean, you know, when you've got good people and they've, you know, they constantly show up and they've got a great attitude, you know, you find ways to, you want to make sure they stick around.
That says a lot about you and your business, doesn't it? I mean, a lot of companies wouldn't do that. You'd probably hear, well, you know what? You applied for this job, so what's the problem? Keep doing it.
Yeah. And I mean, I get that, but at the same time, you know, if you've invested so much and you get along, it's like, it makes much more sense to work with someone you know and trust and care for than just trying to find someone new. Like, that's just crazy.
Yeah, for sure. I agree. Now, in our last interview, we did touch on what SoCal does You build websites, but let's dig into that a little bit more. You build a specific kind of website. What kind of website is it? And tell us more about that.
Yeah, so we build on top of a platform called WordPress. It's the largest, what's called CMS or content management system in the world. I think close to 40% of the internet is powered by WordPress. So it's a community-driven open source software, and that's why it does so well. And rather than just working in WordPress, we work on a layer on top, which is called WooCommerce. It allows you to start selling products on WordPress. And so we are big proponents of e-commerce and business in general. So we do whatever we can to help businesses succeed selling online using WooCommerce. And that usually translates to a lot of consulting work, a lot of development work, and, you know, maintenance and handholding and, you know, getting them, you know, helping them to succeed. So our team is largely comprised of very technical people, a lot of developers, project managers.
Cool. And so just breaking that down a little bit, you'll build from scratch. So, you know, if I say, hey, I've got this idea, or if, you know, I've got a strategy, actually, I've got, you know, this financial backing, I'm ready to go, you'd build for me.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you were coming from, most of our customers already have some sort of base and they come to us to improve it or rebuild it. But once in a while, yes, we do. Customers are starting from scratch, and then we kind of, you know, you got to go more into the weeds of what your actual business goals are and what you're trying to accomplish. And then we start getting to the technical stuff a bit later.
Okay. And what if I have an e-commerce store that's built using WooCommerce and I just don't like how it looks, will you redesign it for me?
Yeah, absolutely. That's an easy thing. And so with that, we would kind of understand what your business goals are, and we can help you design it in a way that's pleasant for you, but also, more importantly, going to help drive business success and increase your bottom line.
So there's a lot of strategizing that's going into it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. And I mean, I'm sure there are other businesses that do this. So what makes your business, what makes Socal unique?
I think that, well, at least in the WooCommerce space, I think we might be the only company in the world that is exclusive only to WooCommerce. So, you know, when you think about, like, when people write their resumes, they put like, oh yeah, I'm good at Microsoft Office, Microsoft Word, Microsoft Excel. But like, truthfully, like only a handful of people are real masters at Microsoft Excel, where they're doing financial models and stuff. Most people say they can do it, but they just have a very generalist knowledge. When it comes to like WordPress and WooCommerce, it's the same thing. Like almost every developer will put that on their resume, but very few are masters of it in a way that like very few can comprehend. And I would say, you know, we're unique because we've just put in all that time and we choose to focus on one specific technology. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the results speak for themselves. Yeah.
Wow. And how are you getting your clients? Are you actively marketing? Is it word of mouth? What kind of method or methods work for you?
We are fortunate in that we, like, you know, in a community-driven space like WordPress, there's a lot of partnerships. So we get a lot of inbound leads from our partners. There's lots of reviews written about us online. We get leads that way. So the lion's share comes from inbound. And now we're working more with developing co-selling with our partner companies that way. So generally, when you're working on tactics to grow your marketing, there's a handful of ways you can grow, and you kind of want to find one that really works and squeeze it as much as possible, and then you can move on to another strategy. So for us, inbound and partnerships has really been a fantastic way to grow.
Cool. And I mean, is it you and Dom who do you focus on a lot of this, your own business strategy yourself, or are you really kind of like handing things over to your team now? I know that you've got a really awesome marketing person, Camilla Cerniak, based in Warsaw. Is she kind of the key person on your marketing strategy, or are you still having a hand in that? How does that balance work?
No, I definitely am all about finding people smarter than me and giving them the tools they need to succeed. So there's many different departments, you know, for handling sales, and in case of marketing with Camilla, and we have, you know, new products that are being developed. We have our technical team. And so those all have different leaders within those areas of the company. And it's all about growing them up to be the, you know, growing these people to be the leaders of the company, and so that they can help do the same for more people once they come in.
Cool. And now let's just kind of touch a little bit on e-commerce itself. I kind of embarrassingly have to say I dipped my toe into e-commerce and found it completely overwhelming. I thought I knew what I was doing. I didn't. It is tough out there. It's competitive. It's challenging. What's your take on the e-commerce world at the moment, and what advice would you give to people thinking about launching an e-commerce store?
My take on e-commerce is still incredibly bullish. You know, COVID definitely accelerated it, but we're still only a fraction of a lot of sales are online still. There's a lot of things behind the scenes that aren't. And it's a space that's still constantly innovating. It's, you know, when new technology starts out, we tend to mimic the way we did it before the technology started. So you just think about, hey, selecting a product, adding into a cart, checkout. And I think the way we interface and buy things is going to start to evolve, which is exciting. And for any advice, honestly, I think I kind of alluded to it with what makes us special, but always, you know, niche down. If you could really find one product that you do better than anyone else and just craft a good story around it, start there. And that's where I see a lot of our customers doing really well. They just really dominate one specific product. And, you know, once they're good there, they can start adding more complementary products.
Yeah. I really love that you touched on the story angle as well, because I just think, you know, the story, the brand value, the brand proposition, so important.
Absolutely. And if you can't answer that question, like, what makes you unique in a way that other people, you know, that story has to be unique to you. Cause like if some other business can literally say the same story that you do, it's not unique. So it takes work to get there, but if you've got that, that's success in itself.
Cool. That's awesome. And you know, obviously you've changed so much since you finished university. How have your priorities changed in terms of like what you're doing on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, it's a very good question. And before it was all about, you know, just getting scrappy and shipping and getting things out the door. Whereas now it's like, how do we make a lasting impact? Like, how can this, you know, live beyond me or live without me? So it's very much about building a system and building processes outside of yourself and really about empowering others, you know, because at the end of the day, success is almost always boils down to people, your successes and failures. So getting better at finding good people and asking yourself, like, you know, now that you're comfortable, it's not like you're struggling to pay lunch. Like, what impact do you want to make? And that's kind of where my head's at.
So that's kind of a fantastic evolution, isn't it? You know, when you're talking about influence and impact, that's a great place to be.
Yeah, it really is. And there's more places to go. There's still a long ladder of things to accomplish, but it's a different space for sure. And it's a lot more rewarding than, you know, simply just, you know, there's rewards in every stage of the progress, I guess. But yeah, it's a different question, and it's an important one.
Cool. Well, I definitely think we should be touching base in 6 months or a year from now to find out, you know, what you're doing, how you've evolved. I know you've mentioned to me in the past, in the prep for this interview, that you want to develop new businesses in certain areas as well. So that will be a fantastic podcast episode to find out what you're up to.
Yeah, definitely. That sounds great, Sheila. And yeah, it's always a pleasure to chat with you. Always, I feel like I'm in the presence of a strong professional, and it's very relaxing, and I enjoy my time.
Oh, that's very kind of you. Thank you. I appreciate that. And just before we sign off, Mitch, is there anything that you think, oh, I wish Sheila had asked this, or I would love to share that I haven't asked? Any last thoughts?
Well, we were chatting a little bit before we started, and you said one of the things that really stuck with you was how we were talking about all the distractions today and the need for focus.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for reminding me. That is such an important thing. Yeah. We were talking about, tell me, Mitch, you are so busy. You have to pay so much attention to your time because you want to spend time with your family and enjoy your life. So what do you do to stay focused in this world of constant messaging and distraction? How do you handle that?
Yeah, I mean, number one is you have to eliminate distractions. So, you know, on my phone, for example, I almost have zero notifications. I've set it up to basically get none, only from key people like my wife or my mom. And I try to check it at specific times of the day, not just all the time. And I think it's just important that what I've learned and we've talked about is you need focus. And if you talk to any, you know, those iconic entrepreneurs like Bill Gates or Warren Buffett, their number one thing they're going to say is you need focus. And distractions and social media and little tidbits of information are literally the antithesis of focus. It's small bursts of attention scattered all over the place. And it's counterintuitive to your success. So get rid of the distractions and really hone in on, you know, whatever it is you want to see succeed.
That's so true. That is fantastic advice. And, you know, recently, a while back, a few months ago, I just gave up posting on Facebook. Not that I did it a lot, but, you know, I've got friends and family in different parts of the world. So it was feeling like an obligation. And I thought, I just don't want to do this anymore. And I'm aware that, you know, if something major happens in someone's life, I might miss out on it, but I'm fine with that. So,
yeah, and you'll find out eventually. If it's super important, you'll find out. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, that connection between focus and success, I'm really glad that you've explored that because that is a key thing, isn't it?
Absolutely. And just, you know, finding peace, you know, in our personality studies that we do, we really learn. You know, every person recharges in a different way. And, you know, finding that time to recharge, you know, for a lot of people, it's getting rid of those distractions is key. So, you know, really invest in yourself.
Yeah. If I can ask you one last question, I know that your family life and your little girl, they're important for you, that they're recharging for you. What other things are important for you outside of work?
For me, I'm interesting. I'm a bit of an ambivert. So I need to be out there meeting people, and people really recharge me. And then on the other hand, I need to be alone or in small groups of people having really meaningful conversations. So I need to get out and be social. And at the same time, I really, really enjoy, things that really get my creative juices flowing. So really just intimate conversations.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, Mitch, thanks again for the two podcast episodes. It's been fantastic because I know how busy you are and there's a big time difference between us. So it's evening in Portugal. I really appreciate it.
Hey, thank you, man. My pleasure. I appreciate the stage. And if anyone's interested in hearing about this, I commend you and I appreciate you.
Yeah, you bet. We'll be posting Mitch's links in the show notes and also on social media. We'll be sharing the episode. So we'll make it really easy for everyone to get in touch with Mitch and ask questions about WooCommerce or business in general.
Awesome.
Thank you. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye. You too.
Bye-bye.